Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing today? What's happening, Phoenix? How you doing, my brother?
Hey, how's it going? It's all good in the hood.
all good in the hood. Oh man.
Yeah.
Are you all saddled up and ready to get going here today on Solar Records Radio?
Absolutely. Always and forever.
Always. And how was your weekend, by the way? How was your weekend?
Oh, busy. Busy.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But
good,
busy is a good thing. It's better to be busy than not busy.
I know. Yeah. I don't mind. It's the devil's playground, I heard. So.
Yes, I've heard
nice.
That too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on and stuff inside of our minds, and sometimes we are in situations where we can't handle. Things that kind of it just don't feel right when people come to us and they offer us constructive criticism. So you
correct.
Know, so how do we respond to constructive criticism is the question that you wanted to know. And so you were wondering about that. Why don't you elaborate a little bit about that question?
Well, you know, that's a good intro to the topic because we're living in a time where people are very litigious. You know, everybody's a news reporter via their smartphones. Here in Las Vegas, we have a lot of activity at the casinos now because the entertainment industry has opened. Carrie Underwood was performing, and she'll be performing again this weekend. So there's a lot of traffic here on the Strip. And so, you know, because of that, sometimes we're in a position, if we are of authority or if we're parents or we're working with our coworkers, we come across this topic of criticism. And so, as you mentioned, criticism can be good. Criticism can be bad. And then how we reciprocate or how we take that information in is really a sign of our own personal development. So I thought it would be a good topic today, particularly now as we enter into the holidays, because what the holidays does for many, it brings their family out of town and then your in-laws, and then suddenly you're under scrutiny. Cultures may be different. You may have to deal with, you know, different ones looking at what you've done throughout the year. And sometimes this has become the bane of some people's existence. Arguments can arise because although well-intentioned, you know, you may suggest something, that somebody may not take too kindly. And so I thought it would be a good topic for us to look at and see some of the things that we can do that is positive. And it says, one of the first things that I came across in my research was to use I statements, our way to express our opinion or the situation that we're talking about. I feel, I think, etc. So what it brought out is that when we use an I statement, we can make feedback but feel less personal by centering it around your experience. Like you might say, well, you know, I make my coffee a particular way. How do you make the coffee? You see? Maybe I like French press. Maybe you like a coffee machine. And it's a, in other words, it's a good starting point to bring a meeting of the minds. And that's just in a personal setting with family members. But what if it's on the job? What if you're starting a new job? Many people are starting new jobs. Like here in Vegas, I mentioned industries are opening up, entertainment industries. They're looking for security personnel. They're looking for HR, et cetera. And let's face it, people are now coming out and having a need to enter the workforce, even those who are considered senior citizens. And so one has to find a way to work in a cooperative setting. And this can be a challenge, you know. This can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, okay, so I have a, you know, I've been trying to sort this out. I know that for me, first thing comes to mind is, whoa, no one likes to be criticized. That's the first thing. We don't like to be, that's just like, hold on, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Who are you? What do you think? You don't know me like that, you know. And so we immediately go to defense when someone is trying.
Right?
Yeah, when someone is trying to give us constructive criticism, if that's what we're talking about. If someone is trying to give us constructive criticism, not just criticism. We're not just talking about criticism. We're talking about constructive criticism, whereas maybe someone at your job say, hey, you know, I see what you're doing, but, you know, I think if you did it this way, it would be easier for you and better for us. That's constructive criticism. That's not someone just criticizing you just because they don't like you, you know. And so, but we seem to still, depending on our mindset, right, depending on where we are as a human being, when somebody comes at us, you know, depending on their approach, how they approach us, are they doing it in a way where they're kind of edgy when they're trying to give us constructive criticism, but they're not really diplomatic enough to make sure that they come off in the right manner. And so if they come at us, you know, in the wrong way, we're going to immediately go to the defense. But how do we prepare ourselves to protect ourselves when somebody is trying to do the right thing, but they're doing the right thing in the wrong way? So those things are really important for our, we need to prepare ourselves beforehand, anything at any time. So when somebody comes at you the wrong way, we don't know that they are necessarily doing something wrong. They may not just have it, you know, they might not have the right mindset to get across what they're trying. Because sometimes even with our mates, they can say something, and we know they love us, but they say it in the wrong way, right? And it's like, wait. You know, and we respond in the way that they came at us. And so to try to protect those things, like if our parents did that, we'll be a little slower to react in a bad way because of respect. And so we can develop this in ourselves to respect all people. Respect that you respect
Correct.
People in general, then you will put yourself in a position to be able to respond in a way that everything could be okay. But if you react based off of the way that someone else is someone else's inadequate proposal, then you could end up destroying your own career or the relationship per se. So those are so many things that come to mind when we talk about constructive criticism. See, we got to remember, we're not just talking about criticism. We're talking about how do you respond to constructive criticism. So
correct.
Please make sure you got to pay attention to what Phoenix is posing here. You know, pay attention, constructive criticism. So Phoenix, for me, I think that I might get a little uncomfortable initially, but if I really listen to the person that's delivering the message, you know, and really pay attention and be respectful at the same time to that person and their thoughts, I think I'll be okay.
Right. I think one of the things that I came across that I thought was very positive, because, again, we're not talking about destructive. We're talking about constructive, you know. When we think of constructing something like a building or constructing a song maybe from its rudimentary forms, we're building, we're adding something to the table. And one of the things that it talked about was to provide what is noted as an actionable feedback. And so what do we mean by that, actionable? And like you might say something to the effect, I really like your idea that you shared maybe in a marketing campaign meeting or in a productive setting. However, see, that's the transition. However, I really like what you've done. But however, I think the reason it didn't do as well might be blah, 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 blah. So you offer a reasonable, what's called an actionable feedback. And it throws caution to the person who's giving the constructive criticism. It says, if you can't give like an anecdotal or an actionable, reasonable approach, don't give it at all. Because then the person cannot see the positive angle that you're trying to project. It doesn't mean that they have to accept it. Because as well, I always say, we could agree to disagree. You don't have to agree everything that I'm saying. But I might say, you know, I noticed that you did such and so, and I appreciate that. But maybe you might want to try such and so forth. See, now it's actionable. Now you have something to gauge. Because, again, we're not talking about being overly critical. Now we're talking about something that is actionable, something that is positive. You know, my dad would always say, you know, when you approach somebody, give them their dignity. I don't care if they're your child. I don't care if you're in a supervisory position. I don't care if you're an older relative and you figure, well, you know, hey, what I forgot about life, you know, you'll never learn. Not good. But if you say, hey, you know, I noticed the other day, and you do it in a setting where they're not in mixed company, you know, you pull them off to the side, maybe you take a walk. You say, you know, I noticed the other day that such and such took place, and I want to commend you on it. I appreciate your approach. But maybe you might try this actionable approach. You see how that works? Now you've given the person their dignity. You've taken into account that, you know, because one of the other things that I thought was very interesting about constructive criticism is you have to take into the account that the person you're talking to may have worked long and hard on a particular approach. This is not something that they just fell off the truck and started doing. This is something that has been a continuum. Now, here you come along and say, hey, you know, you've been going south, but you really need to go north. Whoa, wait a minute. I've been doing this since I got out of high school 30 years ago. You know, now you're in a defensive mode. And that's not what we want to accomplish. You know, your mode of operation should be loving. You know, like I really admire you, Wardell, more so than perhaps you know. Your approach is always loving. You know, for a man, you use the word love more than anybody that I've ever met. And I appreciate that because as men, sometimes we're a little stuck in the mud with using the word love. Sometimes we're uncomfortable was wanting to say love, but love is such a beautiful word. Love is, as you and I know as spiritual men, that is the utopian quality of God. God is love. And they say to know God, you must love. If you don't love, then the scripture says, then you don't know God. So that's huge. But what a great example for us as men to learn to say, I love this. Or, you know, I love the, you know, honey, the way you made dinner last night. Wow. I mean, the gravy was reminded me of my grandmother's gravy or something. If it is truthful, not flattery. Because sometimes people say, oh, you flatter me. I go, no, 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 no. Flattery is a form of lying. A lot of people are not aware of that. Like, for instance, if a woman goes to the dress shop and the dress keeper tells her, oh, that dress looks so beautiful on you, because she's intending to sell the dress. But as soon as the patron leaves, she tells the other coworker, oh, she looks terrible in that dress. See, flattery is a form of lying. It should be based on truth. It should be, you know what, Wardell, I really love that song you did. It reminded me of some of your previous work. I particularly love the rhythms that you chose. It was real locking in the pocket. See, that's constructive and it's positive and it's truthful. It's based on a truth. But then you might say, well, you know, Wardell, in the change, I was wondering if those that perhaps are not as musical, that's the part of the composition where the music makes a slight turn or a deviation from the original pattern. I was wondering if you can give me some more tom fills. I like the double bass drum or what have you. Now we're talking Wardell's language. That can be constructive. And then Wardell might say, well, the reason I didn't use that, I didn't know you were going for a particular sound if I'm the producer. But he might say, I can give you more toms. You want cymbals, crashes? See, now you're working. The whole idea is to work in a collaborative, constructive approach. I've worked, maybe some of you don't know a lot, with members of the Kool and the Gang organization, wonderful brothers. And the thing that I always appreciated, particularly about Amir and unfortunately the passing of Khalees, these guys are genius when it comes to music. But they never, to me, were overbearing. If I came up with an idea, they would say, okay, that's interesting. Well, let's see if that works. Let's try it. See, that's being constructive. Maybe they didn't use it, but they always assigned me my dignity, my honor. They always gave me a feeling of love that they were allowing me, which is a privilege because these guys are giants in the field celebration. I mean, how many Toyotas did Celebration sell? But they were willing to be flexible. You know, the concept is, you do it my way or the highway. That's not constructive. But, hey, I noticed you did something, and I appreciate your approach. But maybe, and that's what they mean by an actionable feedback, you might want to try such and such. Then the person goes, oh, you know what? I didn't think of it like that. Okay, like, what do you mean? And now there becomes a meeting of the minds. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about giving a person a feedback, being human in your approach, making that person feel that you're honoring the work that they've done, considered, wow, I can tell you put a lot of work in that, making that cake. Wow, that was so delicious. But maybe you might try, I know a place where you can get a specific kind of chocolate. Like my mother used to make German chocolate cake. And I remember she would go out of her way to find a particular bitter chocolate. But if I asked her a question and I was interested in making that type of cake, she would constructively direct me in an actionable approach. And I always felt loved by her. I never felt it was destructive or I walked away and my spirit was diminished. We never want to do that in a cooperative setting. What's your thought?
You know, there's so many thoughts. I was just trying to think of my own experiences being put in that situation, and how I did with constructive criticism. And I, you know, and, you know, somebody responded and said they agree with you on the Kool and Gang thing, by the way. Right. That was Astrid, actually. And so, but let me just read something from another one of the listeners. It says, when someone criticizes, clarification comes before response. When someone criticizes, clarification comes before response.
I agree with that. I totally. In other words, it should not be ambiguous. When you're being vague, sometimes when you're vague and it's not clear your intentions, you know, it should be, you know, like we're talking about being positive. We're talking about, you know, giving positive, constructive criticism. But if your anecdotal response or the feedback is not very deliberate and focused, you might leave the person in a confused position. And that might frustrate, you know, nobody wants to be in a situation where you're giving them maybe perhaps a corrective measure, but they're not sure what you're saying to them. Like how could I be a better musician? How could I be a better cook? How could I be a better coworker? How could I be a better husband? Your point may be valid, but I don't understand. So your intentions must be clear. One of the other things that I thought was very positive, it says make sure you think it through. Before you approach someone with this constructive criticism, really take into strong consideration, like it's a child. You don't want to overtalk them. You don't want to diminish their spirit. You want to really think it through. And then it brings this point out. Really mean it in a sincere way, in a very helpful way. And trust me, today, one thing I have to give credit to, young as well as old, today people are very resourceful. We walk around with $1,000 smartphones. Everybody's Google. Everybody's, you know, everybody's in the process of marketing something. So we're a very educated world that we're living in. And people can tell when you're sincere, you know, or people can tell when you're insincere. So the point is, it says, before you give this criticism, really think it through, who you're speaking with, if it's a spouse, if it's a younger relative, if it's a child or a younger person. You know, try to use your words that are uplifting, not demeaning. Or, you know what, you're young and, you know, you're young and dumb and, you know, my generation, we did it better. See, that's not positive. Or, you know what, yes, I appreciate what you guys are doing. I really appreciate the new music. Maybe I don't fully understand your music, but I can tell by the sonic sound, the quality. I see the equipment. Wow, you put a lot of time in what you're doing. Or you're on TikTok, you know. Maybe for many years I'm a film producer, but for someone who hasn't had that extensive background, I've seen some of the people do things on the social media. I'm impressed. I'm like, that took a lot of foresight to do that. So that's the point. You want to be clear. You want to take that person's in mind, the person that you're speaking to. Really think it through. Be clear before you subject them to this so-called constructive criticism. Give them a way out. You know, don't pin them up against the wall.
Yeah.
Not good. What do you think?
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Listen to understand. Listen to understand. If, I believe, if we give that part, the listening part, the respect that it needs, it will help you to understand where someone's coming from immediately. But a lot of times we don't listen. We hear, and we hear someone talking to us, and what we're listening to is how they sound and not they're saying.
You know, Wardell, there's an expression. There's an expression, sorry to interject, but I thought it would be helpful. You know, in today's times, people will use this expression, which goes along with what you're talking about. I hear you. I hear you.
Exactly.
And I would say, you hear me, but you're not listening. If you're in a conversation and all you're doing, you're waiting like double dutch for that person to finish so you can get back on your train of thought, that means you're not listening.
Absolutely.
But if you're listening and you're absorbing and you're not being destructive in the direction, you know, one of the points made here says, make it a conversation. If you and I are having a conversation, it's a give and take. It's a two-way street. I'm listening to you. I'm taking into consideration what you're saying. And then, and if I'm, before I say what I'm going to say, it might be helpful to reiterate. Well, let me understand what you're saying. You're saying, okay, I could hear you, but I'm not listening. And believe me, that's very easy to discern. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but not good.
Yeah.
But if you reiterate what they say, and you incorporate that in addition to what they said, now it's a give and take, and the person feels we're just having a conversation.
Well, you know,
you're not beating me up.
One of the best ways you can listen is to, when someone tells you something, you can say, okay, so what I hear you saying is, and then you repeat what they said to you, right? So then that way you clearly understand what they're saying, and they understand that you clearly understand what they're saying. And if they may have said something, but, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it like this. So it's for your own protection in your relationship with this person. You want to make sure you say, okay, so what I hear you saying, because one of the things we don't like doing is bowing down. We don't like to bow down. We people have a hard time, enough time getting on their knees for the Lord, you know. So we definitely don't want to, a lot of people
submission.
Don't want to, submission is like, oh, I'm not doing that. You know, so when somebody comes at you sideways like that, a little make you uncomfortable, it causes you to go into defensive mode as opposed to let me listen. Let me hear,
you know,
what this person's trying to say. Go ahead.
When you were saying that, I thought of Christ. You know, Jesus was a good friend of mine yesterday. We were walking the casino last night, and we got
you
on.
You and Jesus?
No, a friend of mine, an associate.
Okay.
What was interesting is Jesus came into the conversation. And one of the things that came out, I thought that was outstanding, was, you know, Christ is called the King. That's where you get Christ the King, King of the Kingdom. But yet, Jesus was noted within the Sanskrits as being very approachable. You know, he would even condescend or allow himself a lesser position. You know, when the children
all the
were
time.
Coming toward and the disciples said, oh, no. He said, let the children come to me. He was approachable. He was like a good uncle. You know, the uncle that says, hey, come sit on my lap. Hey, how are you? You know, he might grab your cheeks and hug you. Isn't that a palatable situation? So submission is not a bad thing. You know, I know as a man, I've often been called alpha. Okay. Oh, you're an alpha. Okay, I accept that. But to be palatable, like you said, to recognize the needs of others, to be in a position to say, you know what, I've really taken into consideration, I don't know you as well as I would like to know you, but from what I do, show them that you care. You know, I've often said this expression, people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And that's a huge, that's a grand canyon of a difference. When you come and browbeat somebody in a so-called constructive example, but they feel diminished by what you said to them. They feel like, all this time, man, I've really worked hard in this particular area, and you never once considered what I did. You know, your child might say, okay, I don't keep my room so clean, but, you know, mom and dad, I've been getting 90s and 100s on my report card, and you never complimented that. Or you get up in the morning and I made your coffee for you. You know, something is going to give and something's going to take. And so taking into consideration the person or the intended recipient of your so-called constructive criticism goes a long way to meeting the minds.
Right, right. Right, right. Okay. I want to say that I've been there, and I was just trying to think of how to say this without embarrassing myself. So I've been thinking throughout the whole show, how do I say this, you know? But I remember, you know, so what happens is, and I'm going to make this a general thing. I'm a professional drummer, right? And so being a professional drummer, I played on a lot of records and they did pretty good and life was good. And I got awards for it and I was very proud. And so I was and happy. And so, but for some of us that instead of being proud and happy, sometimes that brings arrogance. Right. And so I'm only speaking about me and my walk, but I'm speaking about you and your walk at the same time, whoever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so whatever you've done and you've achieved a lot. And so when someone comes to you, like maybe at a school in Amsterdam or in the UK or over in Watts, California, and they come to you and they go, you know, you're not really doing the job that I expected.
Right.
You know, the other person that was here, you know, they played it a little different. You know, Wardell, they kind of did it, you know, and you're not really. And so, but what happens is that, whoa, hold on. I've been doing this for a long time, you know? And so when that comes, so you got that, you know, your reality versus someone else's feelings, when they come together, it can cause a very big explosion. And so we have to always try to be aware of what is happening. And that's why I always say pay attention. It's so important to pay attention because that's someone's feelings versus, you know, who you are and your credibility. And you know that you're good at what you do and you've been doing it for a long time. This person is just not seeing it that way. So it's really important how we react when we feel this thing that's coming at us, because it could cause us our jobs. It can cause us, you know, our credibility with that person. It can cause us to feel ashamed of ourselves based off of the way that we react. And so we have to really be careful and think about some of these dynamics that Phoenix is sharing with us to really bless us in the storm, because the storm is coming. It's going to keep, as long as you live,
and particularly,
we're going to have to
now,
deal with the
temperature. Yeah, we're in post-COVID, and now there's other strands that are coming about. And there's a typical unease that permeates the universe right now. People are not at ease. They don't know what's coming. Like you said, the storm is coming. You know, they sense things are not moving in the manner in which they would like things to move, maybe economically, maybe relationship-wise. You know, And so, as I mentioned earlier, my thought process was many senior citizens had to come out from retirement because of COVID, and they had to take on, you know, new responsibilities in the workforce. If you go into the workforce today, you see a lot of gray-haired gentlemen, people that typically would have been retired. And so now you're thrusted between a younger person and an older person. And sometimes, maybe, the inverse might be the young person may have an extensive knowledge in technologies, and the older person comes from an analog background with clocks and 7:30, 7:45 from an analog clock. And the young persons today, it was noted, most of the young people don't even wear watches. I know. I love a good watch. I love an analog watch, not a digital, but something that I could physically see. A nice timepiece. And so you might be thrusted into a situation where a young person half your age is giving you constructive criticism. And like Wardell mentioned, it's incumbent upon you as the recipient to listen. Don't jump to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what they're saying. And on the other side of the equation, it mentions that maybe the younger person, okay, might need to give this feedback in a timely manner. In other words, it shouldn't be like, you know, 2 months ago, I noticed you did something, and, you know, you really need to change that. So you mean to tell me you've allowed me 2 months to do the wrong thing in this company? Now I'm getting a write-up. Now you're making me look inadequate. Why couldn't you pull my coat the afternoon that it happened in a resourceful, respectful way, pull my coat and say, you know what, such and such, I notice you've been doing a great job. Like they mentioned, compliment, that's something that is sincere. I notice you're a hard worker. But I was thinking maybe perhaps you might try doing it this way, or company policy is such and so forth. And I don't know whether or not that was brought to your attention. See, now you've given the person their dignity. And they go, you know what? I really appreciate you. I didn't know that that was policy. Yeah, I know our policy is thicker than the Bible, but this is something H&R really down hard on. You know,
right.
They really don't, you know. And so now you've given that person something that they can use, something that affects their livelihood. And it's so resourceful when that happens. So
yes.
There's the recipient receiving. And there's the person giving it in a timely manner. This is the construction of that, because we're talking about constructive criticism, can be such a beautiful thing when it's cooperative. When you assign, you know, the Bible says even the elders in the Christian congregation, assign them honor. When a man talks to another man, I think Wardell brought up the idea of submission. We don't like to submit. He said some of us don't even want to submit to God. We don't want
right.
to bow down.
Yeah, we don't want
to. But when you're, maybe another way of looking at it, when you yield, like coming to before the red light, you know, maybe when you see a yellow light, that means to you, hit the gas and accelerate. But it's really designed. That's what New Yorkers, I mean, I'll speak for myself, you know. But what you're really supposed to do is be cognizant that you're about to come to a red light and you're coming into a major thoroughfare or intersection. Slow down. Yield.
Yes,
and
yield.
If you do that in a conversation, instead of jumping, man, it can be so much more beneficial and cooperative, and so much that you could learn in terms of building your own personal development. And isn't this what we're really talking about?
Absolutely.
Building
and
our personal development. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because constructive criticism can be a blessing to you. And so, but for some reason, we hear only the criticism part. And that's what I want to make sure I reiterate, because I want to make sure everybody understands we're not talking about criticism here. We're talking about constructive criticism. So it's important, because there's two different things. There's people that go around and just criticize people just to, you know, knock them down to lift themselves up. We're not talking about that.
Yes.
We're talking about somebody just trying to help you along the way. But sometimes they just don't know. They may not have the flavor of the day to say it right or to do it right. Or it could just be that we don't like any kind of criticism and we react in a way that's not respectful. That example that Phoenix just gave about the yellow light, and you know, and some people will hit the gas and fly through the interstate to go faster because they don't want to stop. That means they don't want
to
listen. They don't want to listen. And if you back too far and you hit that gas to go to try to get through that light before it turns red and you don't make it, and
you're
someone
heading
else
for a collision.
Yes. A collision.
You're an accident about to happen.
Exactly. So it's really, really important that we pay attention, that we listen with our hearts. Listen
and
with
I
your th- heart.
I thought too, another part that came out that's reciprocal. If you're on the receiving end of constructive criticism, and here again, this is something to mull over or digest or marinate on, if you will. You know, it never hurts to say, you know what, I really appreciate you bringing this to my attention, even if you agree to disagree. And that's okay. In my own way about this. But you know what? I knew it took a lot for you to, we hardly say anything to each other during lunch or maybe as an in-law. I haven't seen you in years. But I really appreciate that you thought enough of me to bring this to my attention. And you know what? Let me think about it. I'll get back to you because, you know, maybe there's something I'm not getting here. You know, that shows personal growth. And it feels good to be, I know for myself, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm considered now a senior citizen, which is so weird. And I tell people all the time, I honor them with the truth. I have no filters. I don't have any filters anymore. I used to hear my grandmother speak to people a certain way. And when I was a kid, I would say, like, what's wrong with my – why does she talk like that? And now, years later, I turn into my grandmother. I don't have filters. In other words, I say what comes to my heart immediately when someone says something.
Yes.
And I don't want to run through a red light. I don't want to hit a collision. I don't want to become an accident about to happen. And so timing is very important, you know, to pace yourself, to yield, to appreciate someone's feedback, whether you accept it or not. We could, you know, I've used this expression 100 times a day. We could agree to disagree. I don't have to agree with everything you're saying as an adult. I have the right to choose my own choices and make my own boundaries. But if I'm accepting, Wardell comes to me and says, you know, Phoenix, the other day on the radio show, I felt you overstepped or what have you. And I have to say, wow, man, what did it take for Wardell to even have to approach me? He must have lost sleep last night because people think giving constructive criticism is easy. I've been on that end of it, and I thought 9 ways to Sunday before I said one word. So I'm like, oh my God, I hope he or she doesn't overreact to what I'm really sincerely trying to give them a nugget. I'm really trying to say something that's helpful. And that's why the recommendation is really, really, really think it through. If you're a spiritual person, pray on it. If you're not, maybe you meditate on it. Maybe you go to bed at night and saying, you know, I have to go to this coworker tomorrow and bring this to, maybe it's an issue of hygiene. Maybe the person is working in close quarters and they have a hygiene issue. My former wife had to deal with that. And oh my God, she jumped through hoops, came to me. How do you think I should approach her? You know, this is a female and you know, she's giving out an order. Oh my God, everybody's complaining. Oh my God. I mean, my wife lost sleep. And it was,
that's a tough
it was
one.
So wonderful. You know, my wife came in, she brought some scented soap and she gave it to her and she says, I hope, you know, she was very ginger. Do you know that coworker couldn't stop thanking my wife at the time?
See, because a lot of times we don't even realize.
You don't even know.
Yeah. And somebody
It turned out that she had a medical situation that nobody was aware of because it was very personal.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And she appreciated the gingerly way that my ex-wife approached her. She brought scented soap. She put her arm around her. She made sure she didn't do it in a sterile environment. She took her to the ladies' room, and she, you know, she put her arm around her. She says, you know, such and such, I just wanted to pull your coat and bring this to your attention. How are you today? And, you know, but the wind up was positive. There was a meeting of the minds, and this particular individual was able to rectify the problem, and it resolved it within the cooperative setting. That was a good constructive criticism done in an appropriate way.
Amen. That's beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so listen, we only got about 14 minutes, and I want to flip the script for a second. So we've been talking about receiving this constructive criticism and how do we react with it. So do you have any advice for people that have to go out and give constructive criticism?
Well, we've been talking about that, you know, thinking it through, being patient, taking into consideration, is this a younger person? Is this a sibling? Because, you know, siblings, it can get heated. Who are you? You know, mom always liked you better than me. You never know what you might unearth. And so you might want to really meditate and give consideration. You know, all things are not necessarily applicable to everyone. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. And so by taking into consideration the chemistry, the personality, the situation, the connection. Is this a coworker? Is this a family member? Okay.
Is
this my wife? Oh, my God. She made meatloaf last night. It was terrible. That's just an idea, not an actual. But how do I tell her that, honey, you know, I don't want meatloaf every Thursday? How do you do that? You know.
Respectfully.
One of the things that was brought to the attention, you know, I really appreciate the effort. Wow. Or, you know what? Can you give me an idea? I wasn't here when you prepared it. Walk me through how you prepare this. Oh, that's what, see, I don't use salt. So maybe, or, you know, maybe I like salt. You know, I know me. My grandmother was a master culinary, like, chef. And she would tell me, and I appreciated it. She said, depending on certain cultures, Americans, we use salt and pepper at the table. But other cultures, if you go to a meal and you salt the meal at the table, is considered disrespectful. Because what you're saying, depending on the culture, you didn't do enough. Let me help you with this preparation. Or you know what? You marinated this chicken for 2 days. Can you pass me the ketchup, please?
Well,
not good. I had to teach my kids that. I said, you know, you're going out to dinner. I know you like ketchup on your everything. My God, but when you go out, learn to enjoy the meal that the chef prepared. Maybe it might change your palate. And that went so far for them to go much further along in their careers because they yielded and they didn't impose, if you will, their personal preference on another person's culture. We're living in, I mean, here in Las Vegas, it's multicultural. And you have to yield. You can't hit the gas at the yellow light because you might head for a collision. You might become an accident about to happen. Yield. Slow down. Take into consideration who you're dealing with and make adjustments accordingly.
Awesome. Make adjustments. Make. They don't just happen on their own. You have to make the adjustments.
It's a lot of work.
And you know, it's okay because you're thinking. You know, that's what the brain is for us to think. Use it. It will bless you. And so many times we forget about the brain. We just go off of our feelings, and they can be wrong. A lot of times feelings are wrong. And so you have to, like,
Particularly those that are in a supervisory position. One of the things that I so appreciated about my ex-wife was she never really had to bring lunch. And I was like, well, Beth, why aren't you going to take lunch? She said, oh, no, this one would bring me lunch, or, you know, Ida's going to bring me this or that. And then when I paid attention, as you always mentioned, Wardell, I realized that although my wife was the supervisor, she was never condescending. She was never demeaning, you know, and it made for such a positive, collaborative team. People wondered why her team was always high in their overall ratings, because my wife, as the person who was in a supervisory position, she was very yielding. She never browbeat her workers. She always, you know, was willing. She wasn't so quick to say, you know, I'm going to write you up a pink slip. She'd pull them off to the side. You know, I noticed the other day such and such, and if we could make some adjustments, I really appreciate that. By the way, I really appreciated what you did yesterday in terms of this, or in terms of the payroll, or HR made a comment that you kept the cues rolling. You're very proficient in these other areas. Maybe if you could pay a little more attention in this particular area, wow, it'd be great, appreciated. So she was able to have such a good team because although she was in a supervisory position, she made people feel comfortable. That's a beautiful thing when you can, within your personal construct, you could become more palatable. As you know, I've been told by older people, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Do twice as much listening as you do speaking. Because when you do that and you listen not to respond, but I always think of throwing a ball to a small child. You pick the ball up and you throw it underhanded, and you say, okay, Johnny, are you ready? Yeah. Are you
preparation.
Sure? Okay, here it comes. Yeah.
Yeah, you're preparing them. So, man, that's good, man, and thank you for that. That was awesome. I think that, you know, I don't want today was really about just trying to make sure that we are able to hear what's coming at us and prepare ourselves for it, because it's coming. The storm is going to come. We're going to be in a situation, and I would love to know that we all handle it better because of our conversation today.
We come through on top. Yeah, we come through on top.
Yeah.
And I always mention, We're post-COVID, and, you know, we hear different things about our government, our governmental leaders, and we might have positive responses to what they're doing. We might be discontented, and maybe you might come to the job with a sour mentality because maybe our political leaders did something that you disagree with. Maybe I know I'm around people that are very sports-minded, and their team lost. Oh, my God. It's like the world has come to an end.
I know.
We have to be cognizant.
Yep.
We really have to be cognizant of our team workers. We really need to be understanding.
Yeah.
Because without it, you know, we can't live like we're in a vacuum. We can't have these hard, fast rules. Do it my way or the highway. We really have, especially now as we approach the season of giving for many. For many, this is a season of giving. This is a season of your in-laws are traveling great distances.
Yes.
And maybe you made the coffee too strong. Maybe you made it too sweet. Maybe you made it too weak. And they say, what did you put in that coffee? You know, you have to be.
Yeah, Lord, forgive them.
Balanced.
Lord, forgive them.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you might have to say, well, you know, I'm sorry. What do you typically use? Well, you know what? I'm going to the supermarket. I'll pick up a can of Folgers for you. Well, you know what? You like instant coffee? I don't particularly use it.
But what brand might be? Oh, you like Maxwell House?
Yeah, I
like
have friends.
Cafe Bustelo.
I have friends that just are so upset with me because I, when I, you know, I say, hey, hey, you want some coffee? You want some coffee? And like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. What you got? What you got? And it's decaf. They're like, man, that's just like colored water, man. What are you talking about? I need some real coffee. I go, man, I don't drink that. I drink decaf. They're like, they so upset. I don't want that crap. I'm like, dang. I'm trying to offer you something. You were excited for a second.
Well, what I always say, Wardell, if you recall from previous discussions, try not to have an eye problem. And I've said it in a
make it all about yourself.
Where,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I get people to laugh. I say, oh, you sound like you have an eye problem. They go, no, I don't wear glasses. No, you seem to have an eye problem. What do you mean? I never wore glasses. Well, I notice you say I maybe you might want to change it to we or us, because once you turn the dial maybe a quarter of an inch to the right or to the left and say, I particularly enjoy a Folgers decaffeinated, but what's your preference?
Well, that's what I did.
I like espresso.
Now I have everything. So I was like, okay, what kind of coffee do you, cause I that's happened to a couple of people and they would be, and I would say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And so then I decided when I went to the grocery store, okay, I'm going to get some caffeinated coffee. And so, you know, so I can have both. If that's what they want, then that's what I'll give them, you know. But anyway, I want to thank you again, man. We out of time here. And so in closing, is there anything you'd like to say?
Always be respectful. You know, we're living in a time where people are uneased. They're unhinged. You know, people are very pensive. Like you made mention, the storm is coming. And so if we take that into consideration, and if we're in a position of supervisory or an adult or even just a friend, you know, a good friend is a friend that will tell you, will pull your coat. They won't just let you keep tripping and falling if they love you. They should lovingly be responsible enough to offer constructive criticism. And we, on the receiving end of it, we have to be willing to say, you know what, Wardell, I knew that must have taken a lot for you to have to tell me this. But man, I didn't know that I had, you know, this hygiene issue. You know, I've been going to the doctor. I've been taking certain therapies. The doctor told me that I have to eat more garlic. I didn't know that this was punishing my friends. So be reciprocal, be respectful, be palatable, be loving. These are the building blocks or the road map to a successful relationship, no matter whether it's on the job or it's personal.
All right. I love it, man. Well, guys, we want to thank our brother Phoenix for that and sharing, and have a blessed week, my brother, and take care of yourself. And guys, we're going to mix it up right now, and then we'll be back right after this. So thank you for tuning in. All right, Phoenix.
Okay.
And ransom captive Israel.
song on Sunday, and what an amazing it was just amazing having that opportunity to play for the Lord, and that song is just so beautiful. We are about to mix it up here on Soul Out Records Radio, and I'd like to thank Phoenix once again for blessing us with this topic, and thanks to Greg for amazing flyers that he always makes for us, and all the other things that he does. I want to also encourage you guys to go on to the store page. You can WardellPotchJr.com and go to the shop and pick out some gifts, some things that maybe you can be send to somebody that you care about, or for yourself, whatever, from the collection in there. So I hope that you guys are enjoying getting ready for this big celebration, the holidays and Christmas and all that great stuff. I hope you are looking forward to spending time with, your loved ones or friends and family, whatever it is that you do. This is the time of the year. All the companies are closing down. I'm talking about like record companies and stuff like that, and getting ready for the holidays. And then the thing about the record companies, when they close down, they go away for a long time. You would think, okay, like the second week, maybe they'll come back to second week of January, but they don't come back until like the third or fourth week. It's like, whoa. Of January, they like the whole month is gone of January pretty much, because they go out and they do all kind of different things. They have these meetings and these resorts and stuff about what they're going to do and what kind of artists they want to sign this year, and going through the budgets and how much we want to spend. Do we need male artists? Do we need female artists? Do we need a band, a female band, a male band, whatever it is. We want gospel, R&B, pop, jazz, so they go through all these different things, and it's just amazing to be a part of something like that. So anyway, guys, we want to keep this music going. We're mixing it up here on Soul Out Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr., and I thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you are enjoyed our conversation earlier. And my brother Don is on the road, I think. I'm confused because he said he was leaving. Then he says, okay, I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving. I'm leaving. So I think he's on the road today for sure. I think he told me yesterday. See, I have a problem with remembering as well. So anyway, and also this week, Dynasty is supposed to come on. So we're looking forward to that on Friday, I believe it is, or tomorrow. I don't know which one they're going to do. So I'm still waiting. I'm up in the air with them. And then we got ABC as well, so we'll see what happens. But ABC is a record company that we are assigned to, and that we thank them so much for what they've done for us, and we just pray that it all works out well for everybody. And Jellybean Benitez is on board as well. He's going to do a club remix for us, probably around the end of January or something like that, and so it'll be ready. So we are just trying to get going, right, and trying to do what we love to do. Anyway, so guys, let's keep this music going on Soul Out Records Radio. Oh,
this is Encore, yeah.
Here we go, Encore.
You know you're kind of cute with the bald head. Got a little booty in the bald man. You know how to move with the long leg. Bring a little crew with your long range. Don't detest the vibe. I like her with the makeup on. I know that she used to own the cheese steak, but I just want to ball show off. And I ain't even put my juice on. I ain't even play my latest, greatest song. Thank you. Have to make a point, cause I hope you kinda cute with the long braids. Got a little goofy, you gonna stay on. I know that you're ready if you don't go. You know I'm awake if you don't take long. To test the fast food and I ain't wanna say it, but I have to say it. I know he could do too much to show off, but the nigga had to prove on. I ain't even put my jewels on.
at you and wonder why would you even wanna stay? When all they do is lie to you, make you cry every other day. Whoa. How many times have you said I'll be damned before I take him back? Yeah. But then you take him back again.
Such a smooth song. I mean, it wants me to, I don't want to get locked into the love zone. man, I love those kind of songs. Hey, guys, I hope you're good. Greg, where are you, Greg? Come on, Greg, wake up. Don't fall asleep like Astrid. Come on. You know, you hang out with me all the time. Astrid falls asleep after the first hour. She's a baby. No, it's all good. I they on a different time zone than we are. It's late overseas. But anyway, guys, we're mixing it up here, playing all different types of music for you here on Solar Records Radio today. The music that we play throughout the week is why we call it mixing it up. We're just playing jazz, R&B, praise and worship, pop, you know, whatever. That's where we are. Christian music, Christmas music, all that good stuff. Anyway, guys, so thanks for tuning in. And tomorrow is Indie Jazz Day. We're going to really be chilled and have a good time. Just, you know, hump day. We just want to relax, kick back, listen to some good jazz, and some good indie artists as we support our indie artists around the world. We love them, and that's what we just finished hearing right there with LaBelle. Why? Oh, man, what a great, great, great artist he is. And so, yeah, come tune in, hang out with us. And I'm going to play another indie artist for you right now because this guy is just off the hook. I just love Lucas here on Solar Records Radio.
Please don't make me wait. Cuando, cuando, cuando.
Tell me cuando, cuando, cuando.
You mean happiness to me.
You mean happiness to me.
Oh my love, please tell me when. Every moment's a day. Show you the way.
Let me show you the way
to a joy beyond compare.
I can't wait a moment more.
started to believe I'd never find anyone. Doubt had tried to convince me to give in. Said you can't win. But one day the sun came shining through. The rain had stopped and the skies were blue. And oh, what a revelation to see. Someone was saying, I love you to me. On one in a million chance of a lifetime, and life showed compassion and sent to me a stroke of love called you. A one in a million you. I was a lonely man with empty arms to fill. Then I found a piece of happiness to call my own. And life is worth living again. For to love you to me is to live. Oh,
The hand that wrote this letter sweeps the pillow clean. So rest your head and read a treasure dream. I care for no one else but you. I tear my soul to cease the pain. I think maybe you feel the same. What can we do? I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. So I've been writing just for you. They say your life is going very well. They say you sparkle like a different girl. But something tells me that you hide when all the world is warm and tight. You cry a little in the dark, or so do I. I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to say, but I can see it's not okay. He makes you laugh, he brings you out in style. He treats you well, he makes you look real fun. And when he's strong for you. And when you kiss, it's something new. But did you ever call my name just by mistake? I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. So I just write some love.
That's one of my favorites from the Black Radio album. That is Letter to Hermion by the Robert Glasper Experiment. Of course, Letter to Hermion was an old David Bowie song. Of course, they flipped it and jazzed it up, and it's a beautiful song featuring Bilal. So I enjoy it. I really do. So thank you for playing that.
Oh, you got that. You got that 100%, man. And it's all good. I enjoy the song myself, and I appreciate it. And I hear you at the airport. You're traveling and doing your thing. And
yes.
I kept telling him, I said, I think he's gone. I don't know. I'm confused now. He said, and so then when you called in and you said you just got off the plane, I'm so excited, man, for you. Enjoy your vacation, and God bless you. And thanks for being one of the best parts of Solar Records Radio. We appreciate you.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully, you know, we're going to take Solar Records Radio to bigger and better things. So, man, I'm enjoying this ride with you, and I appreciate you.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, I got your number. I got your number, buddy. And I will be calling you real soon. You know, that's the next song that we're going to be playing, going out by Rocky Robbins. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thanks, Greg, for everything. And I need you, Greg. Don't think that I don't need you. You need to be there. I like your questions. I like your thoughts. I like everything you're doing for Solar Records Radio. So you can't disappear, brother. We need you. God bless all of you guys, and take care. And thanks for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. And we'll catch you guys later. Bye, Don. Woo, that buzzing hurt my ear. All right, guys, here's a song I wrote and produced for Rocky Robbins on Solar Records Radio. Good night. God bless. See you next time.